1, 2, 3.
You're listening to Sports Talk Chicago with your host, John Zagluhl.
John, I am fantastic. Thank you for having me. You got an awesome voice, man, and that was a terrific intro. You're like a pro's pro.
You know, that was the first time somebody ever said that, John. No, you're the first person to ever say anything like that. That's very interesting.
You got it, John. Anything for a fellow Chicago guy.
Well, what a great question.
That's a great question. Nobody's actually asked me that.
I like it. What a great question. I never heard that before.
Chase Utley is what? You're saying he's not a Hall of Fame candidate?
You know, it's funny. You may be the only person that I've heard make that connection.
Thank you, John, for having me. I'm doing great. By the way, you have an outstanding voice. Not sure about your face because I haven't met you, but your voice is great.
You're doing a much better job than I ever did. You've had some heavy hitters guests on too, man, so keep up the good work. But it's good to be with you, and I'm ready to talk sports.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into Sports Talk Chicago. My name's John Zagluhl. Great to have you here. On today's edition of the program, What's Wrong with the Cubs? We'll explain in just a moment. Plus, a brand new interview today with Scott Marquette. He's the White Sox beat writer at MLB.com. We talk with him about the White Sox success, their trade deadline acquisitions, and so much more. It's a great interview, and it comes your way near the midway point of this show. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zagluhl. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. Before we start today, I have to tell you about State Farm agent Brian McDevitt. A lot of our listeners have gone to him for all their insurance needs, and he's been very helpful in getting them the coverage they deserve. No games with Brian. He's just here to help and make sure you feel safe. If you have insurance needs and you haven't called him yet, what are you waiting for? Dial up the number, 630-796-2662. That's 630-796-2662. Or find him online at RyanIsMyAgent.com. That's RyanIsMyAgent.com, and make sure to mention Sports Talk Chicago. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. I want to start today with this. If we want to see something, we have to be slapped in the face. We are too delusional as people to pick up subtle signs, even obvious signs. It's like when someone's about to get married. You know, the groom's friend will slap him a couple of times and say, hey, do you really want to do this? And he'll say yes, they'll hug, and then they'll celebrate. We are such delusional people. We never want to admit this is happening until we're slapped. The truth has to slap us in the face for us to bat an eye. That's an issue. We've been given the ability of common sense. We don't use it. We ignore it. We want to believe something else. We want to hope this can't be it. But eventually, true colors come out and we see it. I want to read you a couple of articles before the 2021 Major League Baseball season that were written about your Chicago Cubs. Quote, in 2017, I watched Jake Arrieta throw what we all thought would be his last game as a Cub, and I wrote this piece where I talked about Jake's role with the Cubs as the stopper. In 2021, the Cubs need him to bolster a rotation led by Kyle Hendricks, so let's take a look at his numbers. And maybe, with a little luck, the Cubs will reach the postseason, and we'll see if Arrieta is still the stopper he's always been in October. That's right. One of everybody's favorite writers wrote, hey, watch out for Jake Arrieta and the Cubs in October. No one batted an eye. No one said a word. It's official, Jake is back. Even NBC Sports Chicago tweeting out, he's back. You should all be ashamed of yourselves. You know, everybody's pretty lucky. I've been gone the past couple of weeks. I've been sick. Couldn't move from my bed. So I missed the trade deadline. Sorry, I missed some of the stuff that happened with the Bulls. I missed Bears practice, Justin Fields, Andy Dalton. But I'm back. All of this rage has been pent up inside of me for 2 weeks. I sat on my phone in bed, and I marveled at what I saw, the reactions I saw from people about this Cubs team and the trade deadline, and about where they are today. I have had it up to here. You guys don't know, I've been waiting for this moment. And it's here. I'm back. All of you delusional Cubs fans who have no clue what you're talking about, where are you today? I got obliterated in the offseason when I said the Cubs should rebuild. I was told to get bent. I was threatened. I was called the F word. Now look where they are. Now look at all these fan accounts whom you trust reversing. See, at first they said he's back, Arrieta's back, Cubs could be a playoff team. With some luck, Arrieta could be the stopper in October. Arrieta had a 7 ERA. He should have never been signed in the first place. And everybody rejoiced. People thought they were getting 2015 Jake Arrieta. You're crazy. I've had enough of this team. I've had enough of the people who follow them, too. We have respected people who said the Cubs will be a playoff team this year. Didn't you see the writing on the wall? No, you didn't. You had to be slapped in the face at the trade deadline. And then everybody's wondering why these guys are gone. None of them performed. Hello? Are you watching these games? Do you not remember the 12-game losing streak with all of your favorite players not performing? And you could say what you want. They're still not performing now. Hey, Javier Baez is horrible in New York. Wait a minute. Everyone wanted him extended. Right, let's extend a guy who strikes out 200 times and walks 20. Good idea. I'll never forget this. Before the season, I had a spirited debate. One of my friends, who's the better shortstop in Chicago, Javier Baez or Tim Anderson? I said Anderson. Everybody said Baez. You know what? I've had enough of Baez. I don't care about his glove. I don't care that the guy hits 30 home runs. You're hitting under 250. You're striking out 200 times. You are not the best shortstop in Chicago. You shouldn't be on a major league team. That's a fact. I don't care what anybody says. And too bad for Anthony Rizzo. I know he's the captain, great guy. He is a Cubs legend, to his credit. Couldn't get it done this year. And Chris Bryant was hitting 340 back in May. Went down to 260. And his numbers regressed. Everybody regressed. Here's the best part, too. Cubs got back for all of these trades 13 top 30 prospects. And guess what? People aren't happy. Why'd you trade away my favorite player? How am I going to explain to my kids what happened? Deal with it. Grow up. What, do you want them to be in misery forever? These were the best moves that they had to make. They should have been made 2-3 years ago. Now, because it took so long, we're going to have to wait. Everybody needs to calm down when it comes to the Cubs. Really. I'm sick of it. And the best thing is, the thing that really gets me heated is the flip-flopping. Last winter, I made countless videos and dedicated a lot of time on my radio program to this team, to rebuilding, to moving towards the future. I was laughed at like it was a joke. Now we have everybody who's accredited saying the same thing. All of you were late to the party, and none of you should get any credit for it. Stop bowing down to the bandwagon. Have an original thought. It was pretty obvious to everybody, whether they wanted to say it or not, that this team was going nowhere. I have no clue why it wasn't said. When you finish 8 games over .500 in a shortened 2020 season and win the division, shouldn't that be a warning sign? And then everybody said, well, this division's so weak, the Cubs could just waltz through. No, they're not good. They are not a good team. My goodness. You have to forgive me. Maybe I'm a little bit too testy. Been in my bed for a couple of weeks. But I've seen the reaction to the trade deadline. I've seen the reaction to how the Cubs are today. 1-10 in this month. 7.94 ERA. What did you expect? What do you want? That's the real question. What do you want as a Cubs fan? I don't know. I don't know what people want. You got all these great fans, all these great accounts, blue check marks, telling everybody this is good now. But the same people 5 months ago said, you're wrong. You're crazy. No. No. This is what needed to happen. And if you don't like it, there's another team. Go follow another team. They're doing pretty damn good right now. Go follow them. Cubs fans have really become way too spoiled. And everybody who's a fan has been a fan since 2015. Seriously. There are very few people I know who know the history of the Cubs. Know how they used to be called the lovable losers. Know how there were about 10 or 11 times you could count them on two hands in which they made the playoffs and made some sort of run. Everybody's saying this is the greatest era in Cubs history. 1906 to 1910 begs to differ. I'm just saying. I've had enough. Had enough of these bank fans, enough of people saying what they think is correct when they're late to the party. Could you just be honest? Could you think objectively? I'm not someone with a huge following, but I know my audience. I know they come to me for the truth. Lots of people go to other people for the quote-unquote truth. Don't mislead people. Don't tell them the Cubs are going to make the playoffs. Don't say, quote, maybe with a little luck, Cubs will reach the postseason, and we'll see if Arrieta is still the stopper he's always been in October. What? Did you honestly believe Jake Arrieta, after those couple of years in Philadelphia, was going to come in and be a stopper? Quote, Jake provides a much more reliable option at number two or number three behind Kyle Hendricks and mixes up the very similar looks Hendricks, Alec Mills, and Zach Davies will get batters. Wait a minute. I think my heart just palpitated. He's a reliable two or three? This is what people are saying? Accredited writers? Saying he would have been a reliable two or three? Do you follow baseball? Do you know who he is? What he's done? No, you don't. Because you're acting as a fan, and you're not acting as an objective reporter. Told you. No holding punches today. Because I've been appalled and shocked at the reaction I've seen to the Cubs trade deadline and to the aftermath for this team. Appalled and shocked. I've never seen more negativity for a good thing than people spin it around and actually say it's a good thing after saying it was negative before. That's the thing that gets me. You've got all these respected people, beat writers, journalists, columnists, who say, no, it's not time to rebuild yet. You're the crazy one. Now the rebuilding. Hey, good idea. What? Get your facts right. I got articles right here disproving everybody. Get your facts straight. Go back. Watch my videos. Listen to my programs. You know where I've always stood on this. Now it's the popular opinion. Now it's okay to say it. Now the rebuild's a good idea. Trading away Baez, Rizzo, Bryant, great choice. I've had enough. You should realize by now, all of those moves will benefit them in the future. We're talking about 2 or 3, 4 years from now. If you want this team to be great again, you better embrace these moves and move on. Sorry, nothing else to say. If you're hoping for another World Series championship, for an actual division winner, you should be rejoicing. It's not anyone's fault but the Coors that they couldn't perform. Everyone's favorite players lost their gusto after 2016. Fine, so be it. Move on. There's no need to sit here and lament and cry and mourn for what happened. Your team won a damn World Series. You broke a 108-year drought. What more do you want? Instead of lamenting, why not give the players the blame? They didn't perform. Why not give Theo Epstein the blame for trading away everybody for Jose Quintana in 2017? Horrible move. Signing guys that weren't needed afterwards. People need to start waking up and seeing reality. This is reality, not fairy tale land. Not, hey, the Cubs are actually a good team. They could contend in October. You know, at this point, all you can do is sit there and laugh and smile when you see these articles. Contend in October? Are you kidding me? You know, you should have your credentials revoked. Or even suggesting it. Even suggesting this team was going to be good. Did you not see the warning signs? Did you not know where they stood? Shameful. You're misleading people. See, people actually thought entering this season the Cubs could possibly make the playoffs. Where did that idea come from? Wasn't it obvious that this team was not going to be good? No, it wasn't. Because as I said, to open up this show, unless we're slapped in the face, we don't see anything. So everybody had to be slapped with a 12-game losing streak and trading away everybody to see, oh, wait a minute, this team isn't good. When it was so apparent from 2018-2019. But nope, no one wanted to see it. They'll be back. You're crazy. Couple of signings, they'll be fine. You're a contrarian. You're a hater. You don't know what you're talking about. No, because look what happened, what I've been saying for 3 years. I'm not saying you have to listen to me. I know many of you tune in just for the entertainment because you like to see me get mad. Fine. But at least think for yourself. Don't listen to blue check marks. Don't think, oh, he said they're going to be good, so they must be. No. Look at the team and do your research. Evaluate their stats. You should have seen last year this was not a good team. You should have seen this offseason. When you're touting Jake Arrieta to be a number two or number three starter, you should know, not going to work. You should know, big red flag. Think for yourself and realize that this rebuild is great. Should have happened years ago, it's happening now. No need to complain. No need to worry about everybody else. All the old core traded to other teams. No, it's over. Time to focus on today and tomorrow. The past is the past. They won a World Series, rewrote history, great. Let's move on. Let's hope for another World Series. And let's stop dwelling on something that we knew was going to happen. More to come here on Sports Talk Chicago. My interview with Scott Merkin comes up next, so stay tuned. Sports Talk Chicago. Here with John Zaglula, and we are back and ready for today's special guest. He's the White Sox beat writer for MLB.com and a BBWAA member. Please welcome Scott Merkin to the program. Scott, it's great to have you on. How are you?
John, good to hear your voice. Good to be on, and thanks for having me.
So, Scott, what was your reaction to the White Sox sweep over the Cubs this weekend?
Well, I think I kind of tweeted this. I thought when Liam Hendricks struck out Sergio Alcantara in the eighth inning with, I think it was Chirinos on second, and the game tied. And then he struck out Ian Happ with Matt Duffy on second in the ninth inning with the winning run. I pretty much thought it was going to be a sweep because, that's not a very good Cubs team. No offense to anyone working hard for the Cubs right now on the field trying to get things done, but let's face it, it's not a – not a very good team. And, you know, Kyle Hendricks has been amazing this year. I think even in this horrible stretch, in his last 16 starts, he's 11-0 with like a 2.80 ERA. So when you looked at those pitching matchups, even though Alzolay has had some, you know, nice moments this year, but you just kind of figured game one was the chance. I mean, who knows what'll happen in the three at the end of the month, but it went pretty much as I expected. You know, I mean, the Sox were a better team. They're very good. And this is not taking anything away from how good they are, but they're very good at beating up, you know, the bad teams. And that's what really good teams do, right? I mean, there's no reason to mess around when you're playing Baltimore and Pittsburgh and the Cubs, and I guess the Tigers are a little better now, but you know, all those teams that are near the bottom, because, you know, I mean, that shows what one of the reasons why you're a good team. It's kind of hard to beat up on every team. You know, there's a lot of good teams in baseball. So, you know, I kind of figured that's how it was going to end up. And, you know, they got a great pitching performance by Rodon before he went on the IL today. And then they also, you know, had a power outburst on that Sunday night against Zach Davies.
How surprising was that Sunday night baseball performance?
Well, you know, I think, I don't know how to say this without being rude, but I think it was more surprising that Zach Davies no-hit the Dodgers for six innings earlier this year. That, I mean, you know, he's kind of a middle-of-the-rotation, back-end-of-the-rotation type of starter. I know he's had some very good success in the past, you know, with the Brewers and that sort of thing, and he's had some moments with the Cubs, but, you know, he wasn't fooling anyone on Sunday night. And that's, you know, Eloy loves playing in those games. He said it's kind of in the past now, even though he'll never forget. You know, I mean, I think anyone who gets traded remembers it, right? Even if it was for the purpose of the Cubs trying to repeat in 17 by adding much needed pitching in Jose Quintana. But he loves playing against them. You know, Anderson wasn't even supposed to be in that lineup and then kind of talked his way back in and hit the first pitch for a home run. So not shocking, because the Sox certainly have increased their power output, I'd say, over the last month to like 5 weeks.
Was the sweep itself significant, Scott? Because you mentioned this was not a top Cubs team by any stretch. Is that still significant, though, to sweep them and have this momentum moving forward?
I think it's good bragging rights for fans. I really, you know, I talked to some players beforehand, and they played it down as it was just another game. And I really believe, you know, I'm sure they're glad they won all three, and it gives extra bragging rights to the fans who have been so supportive of them this year and over the years during the rebuild. But, you know, really, it's just, you know, I mean, they have – I think since basically 2003, in my mind, 2003 is when the Cubs came within five outs of going to the World Series and, you know, probably should have won the World Series that year. Then in 2005, the Sox, you know, turned in one of the most dominant postseason performances of all time. And then, of course, in, you know, 16, the Cubs won. So I think it's nice to beat your crosstown rival. It's nice to go into their ballpark and take three, but there's bigger fish to fry all. You know, the old days where everything was centered on these series, you know, after the interleague started, where you got to beat the Cubs, you got to beat the Sox. I think it's still nice, but I think it's, you know, both teams, well, not so much the Cubs now, but they did while the Sox are going through the rebuild. And now the Sox have much bigger fish to fry. You know, I think if you would have gone to Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams and said, hey, I got news for you, you're going to go 0-6 against the Cubs this year, but you're going to win the World Series, I think they might maybe cringe for a second and then go, okay, we're good with that. We'll take it. You know, so again, nice bragging rights for the fans, for the players, more wins, and move on to the next series.
Scott Merkin here on Sports Talk Chicago. Scott, what's your take on the Sox new addition from the deadline?
Well, I mean, it was very good moves. You know, I mean, they made a move to trade Nick Madrigal, who was, you know, projected, you know, it looked like as the second baseman of the future, although he's out for this year with the hamstring tear. And in doing that, they also got a guy to replace him in Cesar Hernandez, you know, who's a very talented guy and actually hitting for a lot of power this year too, as you know, 21 home runs. And, you know, Rick Hahn talked about this, that he sat down with Kenny Williams and they said, you know, if we could get one guy, if we were restricted to one guy to add to this team that really kind of put us over the top, who would it be? And they both said Kimbrel, Craig Kimbrel. So, you know, they had to give up something good for him. Yeah. I think Cody Hoyer is going to be a late inning closer type for the Cubs, and Madrigal is going to fit very well in that lineup with his talent set, because a lot of swing and miss in that Cubs lineup, big time swing and miss in that Cubs lineup. So I think Madrigal is going to be a key guy for their offense moving forward. But I mean, Kimbrel not only is going to help them this year, but they have an option for him next year, and the same with Hernandez. So very, and then don't forget Ryan Tepera. So now you're looking at a bullpen with, Liam Hendricks, Craig Kimbrel, Michael Kopech, Ryan Tepera, Aaron Bummer, Garrett Crochet, Ronaldo Lopez, Jose Ruiz. That's a pretty solid group from 1 through 8. You know, I mean, I think you can make a case that Jose Ruiz would probably be pitching, you know, higher leverage innings for maybe a slightly lesser team, and only because they have so many accomplished guys in that role already. So, I mean, I'm saying he's that talented, and he's considered kind of the eighth guy of that bullpen. So they're in good shape going to the postseason. You know, postseason, the games get shortened quite a bit, and you have the guys who are ready to do that with the White Sox. So good moves made by them. I know the Sox fans wanted, you know, I might have wanted a right fielder and Chris Bryan or something like that, but that wasn't happening. So, I mean, they got the guys that they needed to get to improve this team. And I still hold to the fact, even though people get angry at me, but, you know, the biggest moves that they're going to have at the trade deadline or after the trade deadline is Eloy Jimenez coming back, Luis Robert coming back, and probably in the not too distant future, Yasmani Grandal coming back. So, I mean, you know, those are guys who are going to do it every day for you. You saw what Eloy Jimenez's capabilities are already when he's on a roll. And you didn't have to give anything up for them, except you had to make a couple roster moves, you know, to rearrange things, but you didn't trade anyone to get him. So, I mean, it's those are three huge moves and really putting the Sox in good position going into October.
Why is that an unpopular opinion? Because it is factual. It's correct that all these guys are going to come back and they will make a difference. Why is that unpopular?
I think people read into it and saying, like, I was already making an excuse that Rick and Kenny weren't going to, and the front office weren't going to make any moves. And I never said that. I was convinced they were going to make at least one move and they ended up making three moves. But I was just saying that even if they make moves, and they made a huge move in Kimbrel, no question about it, I still think Jimenez, Robert, and Grandal are the bigger moves. And people just, you know, there's always someone to argue on Twitter, and I get that. Trust me, I've done that with Michigan sports too and that kind of thing, you know. But I never said these were the trades. I said these are the biggest impacts that are going to have, you know, at the trade deadline or beyond, and I still believe that's going to be the case.
How do you explain Eloy's success in his comeback? Because he's been great since he's come off injury.
Yeah, you know, he had a little bit of a slow start, which was understandable. You need a little bit of time to get your time. And I think it's just he's good. You know, he's a really good player. And who knows what he would have produced if he would have been healthy all year. You know, I mean, he might have led the American League. You know, not take away from the mystifying experience that is Shohei Ohtani, who has just been unbelievable this whole year and everything he's done. But, you know, he might have led the American League in home runs if he was healthy all year. But, you know, it's good for him. I mean, he's got a great attitude about life, let alone baseball. And I think this is just what he is. You know, he's a guy who is, I don't know, questionable is the word, but a work in progress defensively, but is elite offensively. Probably one of the better, even in his short career, which is what, basically parts of two seasons, now three right now. He's, you know, an elite offensive force in the American League.
Do you expect him to stay hot and stay at this pace down the stretch?
You know, I mean, I don't know if you can guarantee any, you know, like saying he's going to hit, you know, four home runs in every seven games or something like that. But I think, you know, he's a consistent force. I mean, I think teams will obviously, you know, study him as they have in the past and try and find the holes in his swing or try and find the weak spots. And, you know, there may be an 0-for-10. I mean, you know, look at Tim Anderson, who's been about as consistent as anyone in the game since he won the batting title in 2019. And he's had stretches where he goes 1-for-20. He finished with one, as a matter of fact, at the end of last year, which I think cost him back-to-back batting titles. But you're still good. You know, I mean, I think, you know, the thing with Eloy is when he's on, he can carry a team. And when he's off, there are still guys in that lineup who can pick him up. So it should be fine.
About Luis Robert, what's his role moving forward?
You know, I think, you know, they're going to probably slow play him a little bit at the beginning. And by slow play, I mean like not playing him 9-10 straight games, maybe play like 7 out of 10. And I think that's the case with everyone. And I think people have to understand that, you know, and I'm not trying to lecture anyone, but, you know, like Andrew Vaughn, people get upset when they sit him for, you know, like 3 out of 7 games or 3 out of 8 games. Well, I get it that they want to see Andrew Vaughn win Rookie of the Year. And geez, he's been tremendous this year, especially adjusting so quickly to left field, right field, third base, second base. They might as well pitch him and catch him too while they're at it, you know. But I mean, he's at above his career high for innings played, games played, at bats, that sort of thing. So you want him fresh in October. He's going to play every day in October, you know, maybe barring, no, I think every day. I don't think it's going to matter what the matchup is. I think he's playing every day in October. So, you know, you want him ready to go. So that means sitting a few games here in August and here in September. Then that's what it's got to be. You know, they're 10 and a half up. I think maybe 9 on the loss side with 47 to play after today. That's almost not mathematically impossible, but pretty darn close. So they have the benefit, unlike the last time they won the division in 2008, where they needed every last out to get to the playoffs. They have the benefit of setting things up, setting their rotation up, setting their position players up, and really being fresh and ready once the postseason begins in October.
What does that mean for October? To have that luxury of setting everything up and kind of waltzing into the playoffs, knowing you're already going to get in, there isn't a fight at the end of the year.
Well, I think it's good. You know, it's good as long as you're careful with it. Like, you don't want to get lazy. You don't, and I don't mean lazy, but you don't want to get like complacent. You know, Tony La Russa always gets angry when I or anyone else mentions the word comfortable. He likes confident. He doesn't like comfortable. He doesn't allow comfortable in the clubhouse. So I think as long as they don't get complacent or comfortable, they're fine. But the bottom line is you can take a chance like Carlos Rodon, who's, you know, obviously having a little bit of shoulder issue right now, causing him to go on the IL. You don't have to say to him, you know, well, we need you to kind of try and pitch through this. We'll rest you here, but we can't, you know, we're in a fight for the last playoff spot. They're basically in. And they can move forward, you know, for that. So I think it does make a difference. The biggest thing that's going to make a difference is you will be able to absolutely line your starting rotation up exactly as you want it, you know, for a 5-game series. And then you hope for a 7-game series. So there'll be no, you know, so to speak, excuses, because everything will be ready to go. And literally, you know, that last week of the season, if you feel like it, you could probably sit all 5 or, you know, just totally switch the rotation to make it work where, you know, you have your first 3-4 ready to go in the playoffs.
What do they do with their rotation? Are they going to go 3 or 4, or how do you think that'll work in the playoffs?
You know, it's interesting. I mean, you know, they have 5 capable starters, but, you know, you rarely see 5 pitch in a playoff. Like, you rarely see a game 5 in a division series, if ever, with, you know, the 5th starter starting that game, obviously. It almost never happens. So I would think they go at the most 4, and it'll be very interesting. I mean, I would guess right now, you know, I mean, Keiko is a veteran, so he's been there a number of times. You know, he's pitched for a World Series team. So I don't know if they've believed that, you know, like Cease would be an easier move to work out of the bullpen, to work in relief, than it would be for Keiko. But based on results, you'd probably, you know, I don't know the exact alignment, but you'd have Lynn, Giolito, Rodon, and probably Cease right now. But I think that's still, you know, a work in progress and something to be decided.
What do you think they should do? Who do you think they should put in that rotation?
Well, I think you got to wait and see how September plays out for the end of it. I mean, I think Giolito, Lynn, and Rodon, assuming he's healthy, obviously, are a lock. And then I think, you know, you look and see what you have with Cease and Keiko. You might be able to combine somewhere. You'll have Kopech, who might be able to throw you a couple innings in a certain situation. So, yeah, I think right now, if you had to make a decision, say, if the playoffs started like this weekend, I think Cease would be your 4th starter, right? I mean, he's pitching that well right now, but you can't overlook the fact that Keiko knows what the playoffs are about. You know, he knows how to get outs in the playoffs. He knows what to do there. So you could, you know, Keiko, I think in a, I want to say it was a suspended game this year where someone else pitched one inning and he came in and threw like 4 or 5 behind him. So you could do that too. You know, I mean, you have a plethora of options. One thing that Rick Hahn has said a number of times and Tony La Russa has said a number of times is it's good to have the problem of too much talent. You know, it's good to have too many choices and too many things to choose from that are good options for you.
What's more important for a White Sox postseason run, all this pitching or the offense?
I think the pitching. I think pitching always wins. We saw that in 05 with the great Sox staff that, you know, did something that will never happen again, the 4 straight complete games. And literally, I think they were 2 outs away from 5 straight complete games in that ALCS. I think Contreras went like either 8 1/3 or 8 2/3 in that first game. So, you know, you're going to face other really good teams. You know, this is not going to be, you know, a Cubs team that's just trying to get through the season, or it's going to not going to be an Orioles team that's just does not have starting pitching. You're going to face, you know, elite teams like Tampa and Houston and maybe Oakland or the Yankees or the Blue Jays. Look at the Blue Jays who have the, you know, the same kind of offense as the Sox. I mean, they could throw out their Robbie Ray, Ryu, and I think Manoah is his last name. So, I mean, that's a pretty good 1-2-3. And, you know, I mean, Yankees would throw out Cole. You're going to face a lot of number ones and number twos in the postseason. So it really is the pitching that can hold, and not just the starting, but 1 through 12 or 13, whatever you take, that can hold the other team down and, you know, make it a lower scoring game that you can win. And then it's great. You know, like we saw in 05 in the LDS where their offense kind of exploded the first couple games against Boston. So that will happen too. But again, I don't think there's that much difference between like the first seed in the AL and the last seed, assuming Seattle doesn't get in there. Cause I think, you know, Seattle's a nice story this year, but they're not as good as the other top teams. So if it's like, you know, Tampa, Houston, White Sox, Oakland, Yankees, I mean, there really isn't a ton of difference between Tampa and New York in that. You know, I think any one of them could win it. Any one of them could go out in the first round. It's just, you know, how things kind of line up and match up.
So if everyone stays healthy, how far do the White Sox go here in 2021?
Well, before the season, I predict them to get to the LCS, and I'm still going to hold to that right now. I'm not sure if they're going to get to the World Series, but I think, you know, they're one of the better teams in the American League, if not the best American League team. So I think they definitely will have a chance to get the World. I think they win at least a round, and then we'll see past that. But I mean, you know, they're getting everyone healthy, and they're getting everyone healthy with plenty of time to get work and at bats and everything else. So I think it should be it should be a good run. It should be an interesting play. And the best thing though about the Sox, and the Cubs had this too, you know, as much as people are crushing the Cubs right now, because let's face, you know, we talked about this, they're not a very good team. They did win a World Series in 16, and they did arguably have the greatest run in Chicago baseball history, which is not saying a ton about Chicago baseball, I guess. But, you know, I mean, they went, what, 15, 16, 17 LCS. They went to the playoffs 5 times. You know, if the Sox get in this year, which they will, it'll be the first time in their franchise history they've gone to the playoffs back-to-back seasons. But the good thing is they have their young core locked up. They have, you know, some of their key guys like Lance Lynn locked up. They have options for Kimbrel and Hernandez. You know, I think they have got, if Rodon should leave through free agency, you have a guy like Kopech who steps in the rotation. So I think this is not a one-off thing for the Sox. If, you know, for them, let's say they get upset, not upset, let's say they lose in the first round, which would be hugely disappointing for this team. Well, it's not like, okay, back to the drawing board. Now what do we do? It's like, okay, we go get him next year. Or you can even go just take that out further. If they lose in the LCS or the World Series, it's still, all right, we got everyone together. Let's take what we learned and go after it next year.
More to come with Scott Merkin in just a moment. Stay tuned. This is Sports Talk Chicago. Scott Merkin, still here on Sports Talk Chicago. Scott, a few more questions before we finish up. First off, your reaction to Hawk Harrelson's Hall of Fame induction is what?
Oh, I think it's great. You know, I think the world of Hawk Harrelson. I think he's a great broadcaster. I think he's a great storyteller. He's a great kind of figure in the game. I was honored. Myself and Daryl Van Scowen had our names mentioned in there, which was kind of cool. It was good seeing him when he was at the press box a week ago Wednesday at this point, and he threw out the first pitch. And, you know, a well-deserved honor. He's given a lot to this game. You know, he'll tell you he's been part of the game for parts of 8 decades. And, you know, I think people like sometimes misconstrue, like they talk about maybe Hawk Harrelson or the great Harry Carey in the later parts of his Cub broadcasting career that they were, you know, kind of homers. Well, you know, Hawk readily admits that he was a homer, but Hawk also could be very tough on the team too. You know, Hawk didn't kind of turn the other cheek when the team made mistakes or made glaring errors. He would point it out. So I think, you know, he was a true legend in the game, and I really appreciate his work and just appreciate him as a person. And turning 80, I believe, right around Labor Day. So, and as he said, you know, that's a lot of years in his 80. So he's lived quite a life. So it'll be good for him to celebrate that milestone.
And Scott, before we finish up today, last question, how often do you forget where you park?
Well, you know, I've kind of marked it down now, but what I'm worried about is that, you know, before, as we're taping this, I'm going to the Field of Dreams game, and I hear the parking is a little, you know, spread out. So I'm hoping that after the game, when it's dark, and I'm guessing if there's, I'm sure there's plenty of lights out there, but it's also in the middle of like cornfields, right? So I'm hoping I can find my way, or I may be sending, and I hope there's wireless and cell phone signals in there in case I do get lost. But yeah, more often than I'd like to admit, but I've been better about it later. Monitoring where I do park and kind of reminding myself, because you know what, when I'm not covering the game, I'll go like 3 or 4 days sometimes without driving my car, so it's kind of easy to forget where it is.
Well, Scott, thank you so much for joining me. Best wishes for the rest of the season. Can't wait to catch up again soon, especially as the Sox make this great run. Thank you so much.
Anytime, John. Thanks for having me.
Great talk there with Scott Merkin, and that'll do it for us today here on Sports Talk Chicago. Big thank you to Scott Merkin himself, Matt Dubiel, WCKG, Jim DeTobin, Tomorrow Entertainment for making this show a success. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zagluo. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. Another great show comes your way tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening. Till then, stay safe, and so long, everyone.
No! No!
Where are the turtles?